what we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org. Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Issues program here on the American Family Radio Network for this Tuesday, October the 15th, 2024. Thanks for listening to AFR. Joining me in studio is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
And Chris Woodward.
Hello.
How you doing, Brother Chris?
I'm well.
How are the Miami Dolphins, your team, doing this year?
Not good.
Okay.
They are under 500. They're 2-3 thanks to the field goal, the place kicker being good at his job in the most recent matchup against New England.
Needed the record.
They're bad.
But I
was enjoying
Chris.
This. I was getting caught
Chris
up.
Chris is getting. He can give us all the reasons for the good, bad, and the ugly. I like a fan like that.
Tua might come back in about a month.
Okay.
And by that point, it doesn't really matter.
Right. For another concussion.
Yes. Richard. Yes.
All right. So it is the middle of football season. You know how I can tell we're getting close to the election?
Okay.
We got an election coming up, right?
21 days from today.
But how?
How?
Well,
you know, we're getting
close. Well, I can tell election season because where we live here in North Mississippi, the cotton is showing up.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So it's white now. It's white into harvest.
Yes, it is.
In some places, it's already been.
And that only happens in the middle of October. So we're like two, three? Are we 3 weeks, Fred?
3 weeks from today.
Now, what's going to be our. What are we going to be doing here at American Family Radio?
We at American Family Radio, that evening, starting at 6 o'clock Central, we'll have the whole team here. Tim, you'll be here. Ed will be here.
Yep.
Wesley will be here.
Yeah.
I'll be here. Chris will be here. Steve will be here. And we will bring you the latest results because we start then at 6 o'clock Central because on the East Coast, polls are starting to close in some of those states. So we'll have... This is going to be, a lot of people are saying this is the most critical election in recent history, and I tend to agree with that. But what makes it interesting is these states, these so-called states that, you know, are the barometer as to how the night is going to go. So we're going to start to see results from Pennsylvania, from Michigan, Georgia, Ohio. A little bit later on in the evening, Wisconsin, and into Nevada, all of those. So it's going to be an exciting night to be tuned in to American Family Radio. Mm-hmm. We will give you the latest results and lots of commentary.
Does as far as mail-in voting or as far as people vote in advance, when are those numbers, does that vary from state to state?
It varies from state to state, yes.
I don't understand all the rules about that. We should probably look that up or put our newsman Chris Woodward for us tomorrow. But
okay.
I know that
or absentee voting, those types of
I understand. When are they tallied?
Yeah.
You want my opinion?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Tim, we do. so we don't have anybody else, right? Just us, right? Mm. Okay, Ray's not here today. You should tally them now. You should have those votes. If people are sending in early registrations, early voting, I should say, absentee voting, they should be counted now. I think that's what Florida does.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I could be corrected, but I believe Florida, that's why you see the results that night.
Yeah, well, so Florida will wrap their voting up. Florida's the third largest state in America, okay, and by population.
Mm-hmm.
And they will have their voting wrapped up on time that night. You'll know who won Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And these other states, I'm starting to rant again. I can feel myself ranting. These other states, like Pennsylvania, will go on 3 more weeks.
Yeah.
Because they'll be counting. I'm exaggerating here, and I don't know why these states don't do it like Florida.
Yeah.
I don't know. Go ahead.
Now, the next question for me, did Florida happen? They don't, while they may tally them up before, they did, not may, they did, they do apparently, they don't release the results until
the polls close.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The polls close.
But they don't release it day by day or week by week. Leading up to, they're not. That was my question.
Yes, no, they're not telling people now. How the vote is going.
That's what I was.
No, they only do that, as Fred said, when the polls close on election night.
Dennis. Yes.
So anyway, but we'll see how it goes. But it's, you know, we used to have election day
in
America,
right.
And now we have election season.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
pretty much.
Like football season, we have election season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't like it. We need to have an election day everywhere. You need to have election day, and then if you need to vote absentee or prior to, okay. But
there needs to be some pretty stringent, and then maybe there are.
I think you need to have a reason.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Pretty much anyway. Nowadays, it's just I don't want to leave my house. Oh, okay, right. Here you go.
Yeah, people might disagree with me on that one. I understand, you know, I say, why does it matter, I guess. But I just think, to me, I'm a little suspicious when you have 6 weeks of voting and the accuracy of that and who's keeping up with that and where the chain of what do you call that in court?
Chain of events.
Custody. Chain of custody. Yeah. Go ahead, Wes.
Well, the point that you're making, and the obvious one, is that the more options and the more extensions you give, the more likelihood of, let's just err on the side of there's no foul play, but people make mistakes. There's more mistakes can be made when you have more.
Wondering
how that
works. So we got 3 weeks from today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Is election night. And Chris, what election news do you bring to us?
Well, I want to bring our attention to something Fred posted just before the show. A Georgia judge has ruled county election officials must certify election results by the deadline set in law and cannot exclude any group of votes from certification even if they suspect error or fraud. Fulton County Superior Court Judge Robert McBurney ruled that no election superintendent or member of a board of elections and registration may refuse to certify or abstain from certifying election results under any circumstance. The ruling comes as early voting begins today in Georgia. So to put that in a much smaller context here, a Georgia judge has ruled that county election officials must certify election results within a certain time frame. Georgia does not appear to be one of those places that we're going to wait on for days or weeks.
Yeah.
Good.
Fred, you were saying you don't like that, or you do like it, or what does it matter?
Well,
what are they saying exactly?
Well, there's a group that is backed by the Trump campaign that wanted to give election superintendents the right to hold off, because right now the votes in Georgia have to be certified by 5 p.m. on the Monday following the election.
Mm. Okay.
All right.
That's a week.
A week.
Roughly.
All right. The Trump campaign has been asking for election superintendents to have the right, if they have suspicions of voter fraud, to delay that certification beyond 5 p.m. the following Monday. This judge is saying, no, there is nothing in law that allows the election officials to do that. The judge did say, if there is concern about fraud or something fishy going on, that the election officials can go to a higher up.
I like that.
Yeah.
This sounds reasonable to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So there is still the option, if these election superintendents say, I'm a little
There's an appeal process.
I'm worried about this box right here.
Right.
Okay.
Now keep in mind there's two Georgias, Atlanta and the rest of the state.
That's
a good point.
Well, Georgia's supposed to be close, you know, just like a lot of these other swing states. Mm-hmm. Georgia's supposed to be close. I don't know if you guys have I call them indicators. I'm talking about the race between Trump and Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, I wish Walker were here. Maybe you guys know this because Walker was one that sent this to me, Walker Wildman. The indicators favor Trump.
Yes.
in the swing states.
Yes.
Correct.
Which is where the election will be won or lost. And a month ago, they favored Harris.
Yes.
But they flipped. Uh-huh. And what do you say? Well, what indicators are you talking about? Well, if you look at the 2016, Clinton had a big lead in all the swing states. Did we call them swing states then, Fred? I guess we did.
Mm-hmm.
If you by big, I mean like 6 points.
Or more in some cases.
Yes. If you look at 2020, Biden had like a 4 or 5 point lead. And I'm speaking generally here in the swing states. Well, as we know, that turned out to be wrong in 2016 because Trump won Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Barely, but he did win. So those 6 point Clinton advantages were not real. Didn't turn out to be real.
Mm-hmm.
In 2020, Biden's 5 point advantages did not turn out to be real because we had razor thin results in those swing states. Remember, we had to wait forever. Arizona, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia. Remember
Georgia,
that?
One of them.
I was ready to kick these states out of the union. I thought we should call for a vote. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is Harris and Trump are virtually tied now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
In the same states that Biden was way ahead, barely won.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton was way ahead and didn't win.
Right.
Right.
So that I'm saying that's an indicator that who knows how it'll turn out, but that bodes well for former President Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. I got something, but Chris has something too.
Well, yeah. To your point here,
I've got a lot of points.
Well, the one you just made, the really good one.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
I've got audio from a guy named Steve Kornacki. He is NBC's election analyst. He's the guy they truck out to touch the monitor and make.
And he's about to plagiarize me. Is that what you're telling me?
he says something very similar to what you just shared.
Right.
He is saying here on air on NBC that Harris, the 5 point advantage that she had over Trump in NBC polling in just recent weeks, that is now gone. And listen to the very end here and spot what he says in the out
right.
clip one.
I mean, the top line is the 5 point advantage that Kamala Harris had in our last poll is gone. What's behind that shift?
Yeah, exactly, Savannah. I mean, just look at them side by side and you can see it. Remember that poll we took a month ago that you see here? It was just after that first Trump-Harris debate. Since then, we've had the VP debate. There have been some campaign activities, some interviews, some things that have changed in that time. I think this might be the biggest for Harris. We just asked the basic image perception people have. Is it positive or negative of these candidates? The Trump numbers always been somewhere in this territory. In fact, this is a little bit high for him, believe it or not, 43% positive. But look at Harris, 43 positive, 49 negative. The significance, we polled this a month ago. She was 48% positive and 45 negative. She was above water, as they say. That's completely reversed. It now looks very similar to Trump's. That's a pretty big shift when you're talking about a race this close. And then there's the weight of the fact she's the VP in an unpopular administration.
The VP in an unpopular administration.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she's pledging a new way forward.
I also think that her selection for running mate, Tim Walz, is dragging her down. J.D. Vance did very well against him in that debate just a couple of weeks ago with Tim Walz. Mm-hmm. His credibility, there's been a count of like about 30 lies that he has told over the years.
He's just a knucklehead.
And the other thing
that's what he says.
Yeah, that's self-confessed knucklehead. Yeah. So, but the other thing that is happening, you can see the panic in the Kamala Harris camp. This push that we talked about, I think, yesterday for the black male vote. The polling is showing, party polling is showing, Democrat Party polling is showing that has become, amongst male voters, very soft. Now, some on the left have said, well, it's just these young black male voters. They don't like the fact that she's a woman. And that has been countered by talking to some examples of folks who fit that constituency. And they say, no, I mean, we don't like her because of her border policies. We don't like the way the economy is going. That's the big one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big one for them, like it is for whether it's male or female, black or white or brown or whatever the case may be.
They're so precious in his sight.
Yes, exactly. But the you can see the panic. Another indicator, the Kamala Harris yesterday was they're raising questions about Trump's mental state. All right? This is the Kamala Harris that told us that Joe Biden was, he's just an, you know, excellent. He's right on it every day. So there is panic in the Kamala Harris camp, and it's being manifested in the way the statements are being made publicly. But I think, you know, as this NBC analyst says, as you're saying, Tim, the trends are not good for Kamala Harris right now.
And she has a really hard time anytime she does an interview or she does a town hall. Or she's had to, she's having to answer questions about what are you going to do?
Yes.
In the event you become president, when she's put in any of those situations, she has a really hard time answering. And Walz does as well. Mm. I mean, Walz could not come to the conclusion that there's something wrong with the border in the sense that he refused to answer. What about the hundred? He was asked in an interview, what about the hundred or more of the border policies that Harrison reversed? Was that a good decision or a bad decision? Because the American people in general, that's a big issue for them. That's in the top three.
Yes.
And so if you can't answer the question, well, maybe we would do things different if we could go back and give some form of an answer. He gave a non-answer to an issue that matters to both Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah.
This idea, by the way, you're listening to today's issues. You're listening to the program, Today's Issues, here on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Fred, Wesley, and Chris. Listen, Vice President Harris and her running mate, Governor Walz from Minnesota, this idea that you have anything at all to say about the massive illegal immigration into this country the last 3.5 years, you need to stop.
Yeah, that's right.
You need to stop and talk about something else.
Yeah.
Because.
Complete failure.
Well, I say it was a success.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, in the sense of what they were trying to accomplish.
No,
yeah.
Biden.
Yeah, that's right.
And Harris wanted to open the borders.
That's right.
Yes,
that's right.
And they did.
Yes.
They wanted to open the borders. They don't like borders. Borders are immoral.
Right.
Okay, especially Harris.
Yes.
Biden, I don't even know. Sorry, Biden knew what's going on hardly when he took office because.
But he did say in the debate back in 2020.
Yeah.
What did he say? If I'm elected, I will invite a surge.
Yes. Yes, that's correct. And Harris and Biden, when asked by the interviewers during the debate, the Democrat debate, they asked the Democrat candidates. If you're for paying for health care for everybody who comes here from, this is how I phrase it.
Yep.
This isn't how they phrased it, but this is in essence. Raise your hand if you want to pay for health care for anybody who comes from here illegally from around the world. That they would have called it migrates or whatever like that because they don't believe in the word illegal. All Biden and Harris raised their hands.
That's right.
So to say, Biden did say, I would invite a surge, and he also said, I'll pay for all their health care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that, my friends, is called incentives with a capital I.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what the world people decided, especially we just emptied out Central America, okay? There's nobody left there.
And we took their best.
There's nobody left in Central America to turn the lights off, okay, if there are lights. And also it's been well documented, all the people that have come from around the world.
150 countries.
Estimates, who knows, but at least 12 to 15 million people over the last 3 years have come into our country, walked into our country, been given cell phones, and it's just, you can't have a country if you don't have sovereign land and borders. So my point is, that now you have Walz, who I could load a gun better than he has shown yesterday And we maybe we'll talk about that.
You need a video for that, though.
It's a lesson in how not to load a gun.
Yes, but but what I'm saying is, for Harris, what is 2 weeks ago? Didn't she go down to the border and for a photo op?
Oh yeah,
and that's why Waltz can't answer the question. Back to your original point, Wesley, Governor Waltz can't answer the question about what you would do differently to control the border, because there is no answer, because he, like she, don't believe in borders. So you always have to ask the question, what are the, don't give me your words, give me your actions, or at least give me your actions first. Mm-hmm. The actions of Vice President Harris, the border czar, is to let everybody in who wants to come in, mm-hmm. and that's what's going to continue if she's elected president.
Yeah.
So.
And their effort to try to say, well, Donald Trump didn't want that legislation to secure the border is not working.
No.
Because people understand the vast majority of the 15 to 20 million who have entered this country illegally, all of that occurred before that legislation, bill even came up.
Right. Yeah, they say Trump killed that. They always call it comprehensive immigration bill. Well, you know what? You know what the Democrats mean by comprehensive immigration legislation? That's still everybody come.
Yes.
Oh, don't do anything. Mm-hmm. That basically.
Yeah. Remember, they wanted within that comprehensive, in quotes, bill. They had. They were going to allow so many thousands of immigrants a day, illegal immigrants a day. They were
5,000 a day. Then I guess they're sitting there counting them, and 5,001. Oh, whoa! We got to stop right here.
Yeah.
You can come back tomorrow morning. We got a new 5,000 going to be allowed.
It was a joke.
Yeah, it was a joke. So. Anyway, but the idea that you don't do that, you do everything you can in your power to open the borders for 3 years, 3.5 years, and then you want to come back a month or two from the election and say you're somehow for border security. Mm. That's a joke. Okay.
Real quick too, while we're talking about the election, something that we'll be reminding you about leading up to it. Well, we have been, and I'll remind you now, and again closer to time, but we have a voter guide. AFA's worked on a voter guide.
iVoterGuide. Tell people about it.
iVoterGuide. There's a staff of about 20 or 30 people who have been working for the last 2 years leading up to this election to make sure that we're covering all the states, the Senates. We're also covering
Senate races, the House races, the governor's races.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, all those. Plus, we've also covered a handful of votes where you have an opportunity to vote on life.
Amendments. Yeah.
Amendments. That's the word. It's amendments. So we're covering a handful of amendments and of value in particular states. So you can go to iVoterGuide.com, iVoterGuide.com. The reason I mentioned that, most of our listening audience is daily our regular listeners, they understand the issues, they know what's going on, and they're able to make these types of decisions. But you don't know in your church or in your community, you'd be surprised, you know, outside of your small circles, how many people are, they may believe like you believe, but when it comes to voting, they have a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. And so having this resource is as much for you as it is for them. So make sure you let your community know, your church members know, that there is a Christian voter guide out there called iVoterGuide.com, and you can get that to as many people as possible. It's as simple as typing in your zip code. You type in your zip code, it pulls up all those that you have the opportunity to vote for, and it grades them from very leans conservative, very conservative, all the way over into verified liberal. Yeah. So,
all right, we're going to take a short time out right here. And be back with more here on the American Family Radio Network. A lot of more topics to get to when we get back. We'll see you back here in a couple of minutes. We'll be right back.
Could the fate of America's children be tied to the fate of our nation? Much like abortionists who end the lives of the unborn, the left is determined to undermine the pro-life movement. First, they target the babies. Then, they come for the rest of us. Preborn stands as a beacon of hope for the most defenseless among us, preborn babies. Every day, Preborn's network of clinics rescues, on average, over 200 babies while surrounding expectant mothers with God's love and offering a free ultrasound. Rescuing the miracle of life has never been more crucial as we navigate this time of moral decline in our nation. Will you join Preborn in protecting the least among us? For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound and give a mother the chance to choose life, not only for her baby, but for herself. An ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:13.
American Family Radio. This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Pardon me. Tim, Fred, Wesley, and Chris, we're all here. We thank you for listening to AFR. And the presidential election is 3 weeks away from today. And it not only will be the presidential election, but there are a lot of important, what they call down ballot votes to be taken. You have 1/3 of the United States Senate. Every 2 years, 1/3 of the Senate, 100 senators. So you have 1/3 of the Senate, which are up for re-election or not. And so it's going to make a big difference, Fred.
Absolutely. There's all the polling is showing, certainly West Virginia is likely.
Manchin, he retired.
Manchin's out. Manchin is out.
Republicans are going to get that one.
Republicans going to get that one. Montana.
Montana is likely to flip from
Tester.
Tester to she.
Yes.
She.
Yeah, so that's two.
That's not his pronouns. That's his last
name. And he will tell you that, too. Those are not my pronouns.
That's his last name.
Yes.
And Maryland, the former governor of Maryland.
Hogan. Is he going to win?
He's a liberal Republican,
right?
But he's doing very well in the polling.
So
that's one of the ones we're going
to
be watching.
The reason why that would matter, I think, would be in Maryland to get a Republican. And this fellow has been governor, Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
He would be to get a Republican at all in Maryland.
Yes,
would be like earth shattering almost. I'm talking about to be senator. But what that would mean, people would say, well, he's a liberal Republican. Yes, but he would probably vote with his fellow Republicans 50% or more of the time, probably 70, and he would probably confirm all the judges.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, he would be a liberal Republican, but he would probably be a vote for good judges. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. The other one we're going to be watching on our election coverage, election night, is Wisconsin. Tammy Baldwin, the Democrat senator there, is in trouble.
Okay.
So there's
it could be a good night for the Republicans. Would be 52-48 when it's over, right?
Oh yeah.
Or 53-47.
It could be. And wow, that'd be a
and a good
big
night for Democrats would be if it stays 50-50.
Yes.
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, one place that Democrats have put a lot of time, energy, effort, and money into is the state of Texas, believe it or not.
Still trying to knock off Ted Cruz?
Yes, and I bring that up because tonight, Republican Senator Ted Cruz and Democratic Representative Colin Allred will meet tonight in their one and only debate of the Texas Senate race that could help determine which party controls the U.S. Senate.
Yeah. Well, that's I don't know anybody that thinks Cruz is going to lose that one, but
Texas has had Democrat senators before.
Texas has been closing between Democrats and Republicans. Closing the Republicans used to win by 8, and now they're winning by 4. So, huh?
It's all the Californians moving to Texas.
Yeah, they're going to have to kick those Californians out and send them back to their.
They hate the way the Democrats have run California, so they go to Texas and vote Democrat.
Well, I tell you what's happening.
And Austin's becoming the hub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. I tell you what's happening. It's a lot of corporations, because the taxation and regulations of California have gotten so insane that a lot of corporations are leaving California, going to Texas, but they take a lot of their California people with them.
Right.
And I don't know how much they stay. They keep voting blue, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I would say they need to have some kind of a questionnaire that if you move from California, if you're going to vote blue, you're
keep going.
Go on to New York.
New York.
Go on to New York. Move there. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I wanted to play this ad, which I think is, it's a television ad funded by the Trump campaign. And I think, even though you can't see it, it's radio, obviously, a lot of people may have seen that. I think this is one of the most effective ads for people who care about the pushing of the transgendered movement onto our kids in schools by Biden and Harris and a lot of the educators in this country. I wanted to play this clip, and this is so is this 30 seconds or 1 minute or how long? 30 seconds. Okay, hopefully this will, you'll be able to understand this. Play it.
Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners.
Surgery.
For prisoners.
For prisoners. Every transgender inmate in the prison system would have access.
Hell no, I don't want my taxpayer dollars going to that.
Kamala supports transgender sex changes in jail with our money.
Kamala even supports letting biological men compete against our girls in their sports. Kamala is for they, them. President Trump is for you.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
That's a shorter version. The longer version is even more effective, I think. But that would, you get the idea. Mm-hmm. That's a winner right there with the vast majority of Americans, I think, Fred.
Absolutely, no question. You know, the last speaker there was talking about Kamala Harris is okay with biological males competing against girls in sports. The Wall Street Journal did an editorial on that yesterday. It is the issue that is really building in people's minds. Because even amongst liberals, I've said this before, they have daughters that play soccer.
That's right.
That play in other sports, swimming. And their daughters' physical health is being put in danger by this policy that Kamala Harris endorses. She's okay with a big biological male bouncing volleyballs off the heads of their daughters, and they're upset about that.
Well, also, she just said, yes, that is true, and that was mentioned in that ad. By the way, did you notice those were all black males?
They were in disagreement.
They were commenting?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Which is also a strike of genius on Trump's part, because he's using that ad to try to appeal to black male voters.
Yes. That's right.
And black male voters, while traditionally Democrat, you ask black male voters whether boys should be slam dunking on girls in sports, and 99 out of 100 are going to say absolutely not.
In fact, they'll make a joke of it.
Right. So it's smart on Trump to try to go after black male voters.
Using Kamala's position.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. Yes.
That's what he was doing.
Yes. So, what was she? They were quoting her. Saying, listen to her. She says, I want to pay. I'm going to play this again because we're not taking words out of her mouth. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not
adding words.
Adding words. She says, and this is not taken out of context, is what my point is. Some, a lot of political ads on both sides oftentimes are taken out of context. But this is, here is where she's talking to an LGBTQ forum with an interviewer. and they're asking her, do you believe in paying? Do you believe that taxpayers should foot the bill for sex, for people who want to have sex changes that are incarcerated? And here's how she answers that.
Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners.
Surgery.
For prisoners.
For prisoners. Every transgender inmate in the prison system would have access.
Hell no, I don't want my taxpayer dollars going to that.
Apologize for the...
Oh, yeah.
The ugly word there.
Language.
That I didn't remember that.
Your discretion is advised.
Yes, yes. But so anyway, Fred, I just think that everything that if you want to just look at this for raw politics, everything that the Trump campaign can do to cut into Kamala Harris's traditional voting bloc, that is the Democrats' traditional voting bloc, overwhelmingly they get the support of the African-American community, Democrats do. But if that goes from 90 to 83 or 90 to 80, then that could have a huge impact. I would let you comment, and then Wesley.
Well,
huge impact on the election.
Huge impact in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Huge impact in Michigan and in Georgia. In fact, in Georgia tomorrow, the other demographic that the Democrats depend upon is the women vote. Tomorrow, Harris Faulkner of Fox is having a town hall.
Right.
The only male invited is Donald Trump. The rest of the audience is all women. And the focus is going to be where women, where their opinion is on the economy. That's going to be the big issue.
Okay.
And that's another mistake the Democrats have made, trying to make abortion a big issue. No. Women are just as concerned about the economy as men are concerned about the economy. And that's going to be a focus of the town hall. You talk about election strategy, going into Georgia, holding a town hall meeting with only women in the audience to discuss their concerns.
Will Fani Willis be there? Part of the audience?
I'm not sure if she's been invited.
Backstage passes.
VIP.
You're welcome. VIP. all right, so didn't we have a clip from J.D. Vance here somewhere?
We've got a couple of J.D. Vance clips.
We need to hear one. I mean,
courtesy.
He's got some hits going on out there.
Well, yeah, this one is a good one.
Country with his concert.
Yeah, so this one, Steve, cut this one for us. J.D. Vance is giving a speech, and a lady in the audience, her chair falls. She takes a spill, and she yells out for help when this happens. And then J.D. Vance makes a joke once they realize, after a few minutes, that the lady is okay. Clip 11.
Or the federal government, there's a lot of...
Hold on, just a second, man. We okay? Kamala Harris built this platform behind us. That's what happened.
Build back worse.
I didn't see that. Did anybody see that?
I didn't get to see that.
No. I'll find the video and post it.
Did you see it?
I did not.
So, when you hear that on radio, in this day and age, you're thinking somebody fired a gun.
Yeah, yeah.
That chair falling, but you're saying a chair collapsed?
Yeah.
Yes.
Something.
And J.D. Vance says Kamala Harris made that platform.
Well, he made sure, let's point out, he made sure she was okay before he started joking around. But after he realized she was okay, he did make, that was a quick comment.
So he's at a table with a moderator, and a lady behind him apparently falls.
Okay, let me see that. I'm sorry, folks.
This is the listen to the article link. That's the image. I'm trying to find the video for you.
Anyway,
bear with me.
So the chair falls, the chair collapses. Now, okay, that's not, she wasn't hurt, right?
No.
Okay, good, because I'm about to make a joke. So she wasn't hurt. Oh, there we go. Now, are we able to watch it now? Well,
this is a different.
Yeah, because, all right, so anyway.
I'm on it.
That scream.
Yes.
and that's somebody's. Either mom or grandma.
That's right.
And they just became famous.
Yes.
And the kids are going to school. Hey, I heard your mom screaming on.
Yeah.
Heard your mom screaming on TV. She screams like it. That's she's been bit by a snake.
That's right.
Am I right?
Yeah, that's what
certainly
it sounded
got
like.
The attention.
That's a real scream right there.
Yeah. But J.D. Vance.
I got to play that again.
Oh, you want to play it again?
Because she does a great job of screaming. When her chair collapses, is that what happened?
Mm-hmm.
At a J.D. Vance
she
rally?
Mm-hmm.
And J.D. Vance is sitting down, waiting to come up on the podium, and he has to turn around behind him to see what happened. Go ahead, because this is a great screen.
Fault of any individual agency or the federal government. There's a lot of.
Hold on, just a second, man. We okay? Kamala Harris built this platform behind us. That's what happened.
But a boom. That was pretty quick right there.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
He's all got right. A great sense of humor. If you just compare the two for a moment, okay?
J.D. Vance and Tim Walz.
Okay. Both of them, how many times in the last couple of weeks, objectively speaking, it's possible, by the way, that you can laugh. A Democrat and a Republican, regardless of their positions, you can be funny, okay? Right. People can enjoy listening to you talk, even if you vehemently disagree or even subtly disagree with positions on issues. How many times has Walz, am I pronouncing that correct, right? Walz. How many times have you been listening to him and you felt like, you laugh or you get a sense of a chuckle or he woos you in because you feel like he cares about you individually, that is, not community, individually, versus how many times you're listening to J.D. Vance or you've heard clips of J.D. Vance and you go, that's hilarious. That was, you know what I mean? Like there's a stark difference.
Yeah, J.D. Vance is very quick-witted and I think he's – I didn't know him at first. I don't think America did, really. Mm-hmm. Because we knew he was the U.S. Senator from Ohio, a freshman, but that didn't know much about it. I'd never heard him speak maybe a couple of times. But as I said, I've been very impressed, as I know a lot of people have been. He's highly intelligent, very quick, smart, good debater, 40 years old. He does make Trump look like Grandpa. But I think that's the point. Yep. That the Republicans are wanting to appeal to a generational, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Not just, Trump's already going to be favored with the baby boomers.
Yep.
So they're trying to appeal to a younger demographic to get them to look at, and I think Vance helps them in that respect.
And another big difference between J.D. Vance and Tim Walz, J.D. Vance is not a communist.
Yes, that's true.
You know, Fred, I think that is a good point.
That's fair. worth discussing.
I was having a discussion at our church on Sunday with someone about Tim Walz. This person was not aware that Tim Walz spent his honeymoon in China, took his bride to China. He made multiple trips to China.
Yeah.
Has praised the Chinese communist government. This is not an exaggeration, folks. He does not deny that he did all of these things.
Yeah, he was asked about that in the debate with Vance, about his appreciation for the Chinese.
While he has a hard time answering for the decisions of President Joe Biden and Vice President Harris, he does not have a hard time defending his record of all his policies and positions, which are as bad or worse.
Yes.
From the advancement of American freedom.
Yes.
All right, joining us right now is our good friend and colleague, Dr. Alex McFarland, who joins us most Thursdays here on Today's Issues. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, everybody.
You've been hearing us talk here, Alex. How do you see the election coming up?
Well, I'm cautiously optimistic, fervently praying, calling on people everywhere to pray. And frankly, Tim, I'm asking my fellow clergy to get some conviction and get in their pulpits and talk to their parishioners about the stewardship of the country.
What do we pray for?
Well, I pray that God in his power will overrule any attempts at election fraud. I pray that God would keep us a Judeo-Christian representative republic with stability and prosperity so that we as a nation can contribute to the fulfillment of the Great Commission. And Tim, I think you know where my heart is, but I just want to say this. My home is heaven, obviously. My hope is not in human beings, but in Jesus. But I want to say this to everybody listening. As American citizens, we've been given a great gift. We have a rich Christian history. We've been prospered like no other nation in history. God has blessed us to be a blessing. All that is at risk. Honestly, there's not so much two candidates before us, but two different worldviews and two different futures. Kamala Harris represents a hyper-secular, godless, anti-moral, anti-human rights worldview that will take us further into socialism and globalism. Donald Trump, whether you like him or not, he represents American constitutionalism that has been our greatness for 248 years. And I guess I would say to everybody, I'm praying in the name of Jesus that God would give us a reprieve, spare us from the Democrat, godless Marxist.
So God's a Republican?
And let us continue.
God's a Republican?
Pardon?
Did you say God? Am I hearing you say God's a Republican?
Yeah, I get this question a lot. People say, well, I guess you think God's a Republican. No, but the Republican Party at this moment has principles and policy planks that more closely represent godliness than does the Democrat Party.
I got you.
Alex, Fred here. You know, you just described the worldview, what you see in the Democratic Party. Certainly pro-abortion, socialist, big government.
Anti-Israel.
Anti-Israel. Yet you have this group calling themselves Evangelicals for Harris. What do you make of that?
Well, the Evangelicals for Harris are a very misled and misleading bunch. I was approached by them a couple of years ago by Jerusha Graham, who is a granddaughter of Billy Graham, and they called asking if they would be on the radio, and they, you know, they tried to make much of her, you know, bona fides being a relative of Billy Graham. But let me say this. Any group, I don't care what label you attach to yourself, they are not any more evangelical than Howard Stern. Because I mean, it reminds me, guys, of Matthew 7:24. And God knows I wish them no ill. In fact, I pray for their salvation. But in Matthew 7:24, the Lord Jesus says, on the judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, and Jesus will say, I'm sorry, I never knew you. And the alleged Evangelicals for Harris, they very misleading. They have cherry-picked like a soundbite of Billy Graham from decades ago where he says, you know, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace. Mm-hmm.
Steve had a story in that.
But here's the thing. Kamala Harris, for killing babies, transgenderism, anti-Israel, unjust taxation of the people, and letting illegals in. I mean, we all know the horridly anti-constitutional, anti-God positions of the Harris platform. And if you could face Jesus one day and say, oh, yes, Lord, I promoted the killing of the unborn. I promoted sodomy, which your word calls an abomination. I promoted animosity against the Jewish people. I mean, those Evangelicals for Harris, I beg people, do not be misled by these dishonest people, but we need to pray for their soul because those people need to get, forget this election, those people need to get right with a God whom they certainly will one day face.
You know, there's another issue here. I know it's down the list of issues that most American voters care about, but I would think this issue I'm about to mention is at least a top 10 issue, and that is America's relationship to Israel. Mm-hmm. And I care about this deeply.
That was confirmation by heaven.
Okay. Well, that's what I wondered. Was that a ding from heaven there I got? I don't know where that came from, but
I'm getting texts from people listening saying they enjoy this.
Oh, okay. You mean what I'm saying or what you're saying? Or both?
I guess what we're all saying.
Okay, what we're all saying.
We got a lot of Today's Issues fans listening right now.
I got you. Okay. Well, I would just say this. I know for American Christians, especially evangelicals, America's relationship to Israel is going to be more than top 10. It's going to be three, two, right in there, or four, right in there. It's going to be a top five, okay? So there is a big difference a big difference between how Kamala Harris and the Democrat Party, not all the Democrat Party, but a growing, I think almost a majority of the Democratic Party, they want to distance America from Israel. They want to leave Israel to let them fend for themselves. And and Israel can fend for themselves pretty good. Okay, I'm not saying that they can't. I'm not saying that they can't. But America is always, 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 no matter if we've had a Democrat in the White House or a Republican in the White House, America has always stood as America, as Israel's strongest ally. All right, and Israel has been our strongest ally in the Middle East. And so I'm afraid that Kamala Harris will yield, if she doesn't believe it herself, to the factions that believe in supporting Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran and making Israel, weaken Israel by always telling Israel what to do and nitpicking them when they do things to defend themselves. I think you're going to have a real problem between Israel and the United States if Kamala Harris is elected. I mean, a real problem. And I think President Trump proved in his first 4 years, he has a strong admiration and appreciation for Israel, and he will maintain Israel as America's closest ally in the Middle East. Now, Trump also, to his credit, and his son-in-law has something to do with this too, the Abraham Accords.
Yes.
That you can look them up, the Abraham Accords, which were basically little peace deals between, they're not little, but between the Arab countries around there and Israel. And that was kind of his last year in office, Trump. Trump didn't do it himself personally. His son-in-law, Kushner, I think he negotiated a lot of it. Mm-hmm. But he still worked under
And the embassy got moved.
The embassy got moved. Yes, the embassy got moved. So Trump has a record of having a strong relationship with Israel. And I think that matters to a big, to a significant part of the Republican voting bloc, which is the evangelical Christian community. Alex, thanks so much, my friend.
Blessings.
Okay, we'll talk to you later, and we'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.